Longtime NBA veteran Antonio Daniels joins the Locked On Celtics podcast to talk about where this team has come, a coach speaking the player's language, and the Celtics trying to get past Miami and maybe facing the Golden State Warriors. It's all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team. Step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day, Monday through Friday. And this week, a bonus podcast. The Celtics are playing on Friday night, game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I will be there. I will be podcasting afterwards. So you get a post-game, hopefully post-victory podcast, and that'll be a lot of fun. So get this podcast free. It's available everywhere podcasts exist. It's also on YouTube. You can watch the show on YouTube. We're getting closer to the 6,400 subscribers, looking to get to 6,500 by the end of the series. I'll fudge it a little bit and say before the NBA Finals start, and then we can hit that new goal. I'm John Corrales, here with a little bit of an improved voice, a little bit better than yesterday. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the 75th anniversary Celtics team. I apologize. I really do apologize for yesterday. People who are listening got, at the end of the podcast, me hacking up a lung. I apologize for that. That was supposed to be edited out. I had a glitch. I don't know if it was a technical glitch or a brain glitch, but it was fine on the YouTube show. It didn't make the YouTube show, but for some reason, a bunch of you got it on the audio. I sent out a fixed one, but a lot of you got it. I apologize for that. I didn't want that to be in there. It sounded disgusting. It sounded like I was going to die. I'm better now. I'm making a lot of progress. Just the vocal cord thing. This is a non-COVID illness. I've been tested. It's non-COVID, so I'm fine, but just the vocal cords were impacted. So thank you so, so much for bearing with me on that. Today on the show, Antonio Daniels, Locked On Network NBA analyst, came on I had a long conversation, a good 20-minute conversation with him, starting out on the just the where the Celtics came from, you know, over the course of the season. Great stuff on Ime, great stuff on the development of the players. Then in the second part, so I'm going to put that in the second segment of the show. In the second part of the conversation, the third segment of the show is going to be the playoffs and the Celtics versus the Heat and some really fun, really good Al Horford discussion, what Al Horford has meant to this team. So that, me and Antonio, we've got that in the third segment. Let's start this segment here just with a quick update. There's no real news. The Celtics had a travel day. Ime spoke really early in the morning, didn't really say anything. So the Celtics put out an injury report where Marcus Smart, Robert Williams were questionable. That's going to kind of be the case. I did have a conversation with Dr. Jessica Flynn in a piece that I wrote for Boston Sports Journal about the Celtics and their injuries. And basically, I thought it was a good idea. Someone suggested it in my weekly Q&A. And I thought, well, this is a good idea to kind of get people caught up on what's happening here. And basically, three things. Let's start. The simplest thing is Marcus Smart. His ankle, it's fine that he's playing on his ankle. The swelling was probably exacerbated by the right midfoot sprain that he had, and that recovery is certainly hampering, or potentially hampering, the right ankle. Maybe why that, you know, he had to test it out before game 5. Regardless, it's fine that he's playing on that ankle. He's got 10 other things going on. So he's a warrior. He's playing through it. There's no real risk long term. Robert Williams is an interesting case because Ime initially characterized the knee issue that he was having as a normal kind of repercussion of the surgery. And Dr. Flynn said, yeah, you know, actually, it's not unsurprising that he's having that kind of issue with the swelling and even the bone bruise. The Celtics say the bone bruise happened when he collided with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Dr. Flynn said, okay, that's what they say. It's also possible that there's some level of potential bone bruise just from somebody having meniscus surgery. So that's something to consider, that a bone bruise and pain and swelling in the knee is also a residual effect from having the meniscus surgery. There's nothing wrong with him. It's not a long-term thing with him either. It's just, he's a guy that recently had a knee scope, and he's trying to play high-level playoff basketball, playing decent minutes in a lot of these games. He's going to have some level of swelling because of that. So that's naturally, it is to be expected. When the Celtics said that's to be expected, she confirmed that. So the good news is probably nothing long-term. The bad news is that he's a big dude that is hard on his knees anyway, and he's going to be jumping and landing at weird angles because he's Robert Williams. He's a gigantic pogo stick, and that's just what happens with him. So that stuff is to be expected, and it's also to be expected. It's possible he could miss a game here or there, and that may be the case heading into the finals, which makes the Celtics closing this thing out in six super important, because it's May 28th that they'll have that game. The NBA finals start on June 2nd. So you have the potential to get him off his feet for 3-4 days. And in the middle of the finals, there are pockets of 2 days off. So if they can just get through this, get him through game six, get him off his feet, he might actually be able to get through game one, get through game two, 2 days off between game three of the NBA finals. You can rest him that extra day, and that could be the thing that gets him through that series without missing time. We'll hope. But again, just like Marcus Smart, this is not something that's going to hurt him long-term. People are afraid of that. It's not something that's going to be a long-term issue. Get him some rest in the offseason. He'll be fine. Same thing with Jason Tatum. It's not a shoulder injury. It's important clarification. It's not a shoulder injury, even though he's grabbing up at that right trapezius muscle. It's in the shoulder area, but it's a pinched nerve. The nerve impingement basically is what we used to call a pinched nerve. So that is going to, as Dr. Flynn explained, he can be fine in playing normal basketball and then just turn your head the wrong way and that nerve can just pinch and that shoots pain down that arm and it can cause a dead arm. And that's what you saw in the early parts of game five, where he was just kind of like working that hand and all of that stuff. So, but again, the real remedy is rest, and they're not going to get a whole lot of rest. So it's take some ibuprofen, take some anti-inflammatories, get those massages and get that treatment. Be very diligent about that treatment. And again, as I said in yesterday's show, don't get on another plane to Miami. Reduce that air travel as much as you possibly can so you can not have that pressurized cabin and messing with your, to just take the day's rest and just finish this thing off in six. All right. That's it for me. Up next, Antonio Daniels with a great conversation and stupid technology he had to go through his phone, and for some reason, when he flipped it horizontal, like normal, like you see me, he couldn't hear me. So really, honestly, one of the weirdest things I've had happen. When it was vertical, he could hear me. So whatever, you're going to see if you're watching on YouTube. The people who are listening, you don't give a damn about that because you're going to hear it just fine. People watching on YouTube, you're going to see these two black bars around Antonio Daniels. You'll be like, well, that looks silly. Well, that's why. That's the only way we could get this thing done. So great conversation, though. You won't even notice because he's awesome. So that's coming up next. First, let's talk about Built Bar. We've been asking, and Built has delivered. Built granola bars are here. This is exciting. Built granola bars come in three unbelievable flavors: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, white chocolate berry. You want to try all three? You can get a mixed box at built.com right now. There are so different than the bars and the puffs. Built granola bars are loaded with granola, perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. But just like the bars and the puffs, these babies are packed with protein and covered in 100% chocolate. 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. Oh my God, let's get these Built granola bars out there to the world because this is great. They've cracked the code with better granola. It's a great healthy snack to put in your lunch, take it on the road, put it in your gym bag, whatever. They're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of benefits. So if you've been waiting for a healthy and delicious granola bar to hit the market, now's your time. Head over to built.com right now. Get the Built granola bars. Three delicious flavors to try: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, white chocolate berry. Don't miss out. You got to get yours today. Go to built.com. Get the Built granola bars right now. Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order of the Built granola bars. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off everything every time you use it at built.com. Antonio Daniels, NBA veteran, Locked On Network, NBA expert. Appreciate you hopping on for a few minutes. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let me start with this. You and Ime Udoka overlapped in the league, but I don't know if you guys ever faced off. Do you ever remember getting a chance to play up against Ime?
I'm going to tell you the crazy thing. When I was drafted by Vancouver in 1997, and I went to Vancouver prior to training camp to work out and shoot and, you know, get together with the team, Ime was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ime was there, just down there, just working out with the team and so on and so forth. So I met Ime all the way back in 1997, way back then.
Wow.
You want me to lie to you? Want me to lie to you and say, oh, you know what, John? I knew 25 years later he would be such a fantastic coach and be on his way to the NBA Finals.
Yes.
That's usually what you hear. So let me go ahead and lie to you and tell you I knew that all the way back then in 1997.
Right. You're right. 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 When he was young and trying like hell to break into the league, everyone knew that he was going to be the
for sure.
Right. Right. Of course. Did you guys ever play? Did you guys ever face off? And there was only like 1 year where he was really getting some real run, and you were in Washington at the time, but no, right?
Not that I remember. Not that I recall. I really remember like most of my interactions with Ime. With him as an assistant coach.
Right. Well, he's the head coach now and he's doing a damn fine job, I would say.
Yes, he is.
Which is great. I mean, a first year coach getting his team to turn around. So why don't we just start there when it comes to this year's Celtics team? Can you even believe that you're on a Celtics podcast to talk about them being one win from the NBA Finals considering where they were earlier this year?
No. And I tell you what, John, anybody who tells you yes is lying. Okay? Anybody who tells you yes is lying. This was a team that was, 16 and 18 at one point?
Yep.
And are now 48 minutes away from the NBA Finals.
Yep. Five months ago to this day, I think they were the ninth seed.
But you know what's wild, though? The NBA is about peaking at the right time of the season.
Sure.
There's nothing more important. There are teams that peak in January. There are teams that peak in February. And what the Boston Celtics did, they peaked at the right time of the season. And to watch the growth of their youth, that's a lot of times collective steps, the proverbial step that we talk about that guys need to take coincides with the collective growth. You know what I mean? Jason Tatum's a different player. He's entered a completely different category of conversation, right? Think about the conversations that we were having last year or earlier this season about Grant Williams.
Oh, for sure.
No question. So think about that. Think about the growth of Tatum and Brown, Robert Williams, what he means to this team, his growth individually, how much he's grown. So when you get guys that take that proverbial individual step, it coincides with collective growth. And that's what you see with the Boston Celtics, along with a head coach that obviously speaks their language. John, there's nothing more important in today's NBA. I don't care what you could scheme up. I don't care about your offensive schemes. I don't care about your defensive schemes. I don't care about your offensive and defensive foundation. If you can speak to guys in a language that they can understand and that they will respond to, they will run through a wall for you. And you see that in Boston with Ime Udoka.
See, now I love this because so you were in the league. You get it. You get it more than anybody gets it. What is that value? When you talk about that, what does it mean for him to be speaking that language? What does it mean when they tell us we all bought in at the same time and that's how things turned around?
Okay, for me, it comes down to when I played for Greg Popovich, one of the things that he was great at, he didn't coach everybody the same. Right. The NBA is not equal opportunity. It's not. But to not coach everybody the same, you have to understand who each one of these young men are, what makes them tick. What I mean by that is this. I have three children, right? I have two girls and a boy. What I say to my oldest child that may motivate her may break my middle child. Mm-hmm. What I say to my middle child that may motivate her may break my son. But I have to understand and have my finger on the pulse of what drives them. So with Ime Udoka, what motivates Marcus Smart may not be the same thing that motivates Al Horford. What motivates Al Horford may not be the same thing that motivates Peyton Pritchard. You know what I mean? But you have to understand and have your pulse on each individual player as far as how do I get the best out of them? So when I say speaks their language, that's what I'm referring to. I'm not talking about the collective language. I'm talking about individually. How do I put you in the best position to be the best version of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is great. A great way to put it, because that I think, especially in the league where you got things like contracts, I think one of the biggest things that fans don't understand about the NBA is just how different it is from any lower level of basketball, where the NBA is a business and there's contracts and there's different motivations. And, you know, you've seen it, right? I mean, you've seen teammates, I'm sure, have like three, four things ahead of their schedule before they get to basketball. Right. And then some guys have like just basketball on their list of priorities.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get all of that together to be a cohesive?
Well, that's the business aspect though. That's the business aspect. And what you're referring to, John, and I say this on our SiriusXM show all the time, fans, a lot of times they approach the NBA like it's a video game.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's not a video game. Like you hear, like there are salary caps. There's a luxury tax. There are contracts. There are egos. There are bonuses. There's so much that's involved with this that people don't know about. It's so much that goes on behind closed doors that people don't know about. They basically see the NBA for what it is. Oh, okay. Well, let's sign this guy. Oh, you know what? This guy will be great to have on our team. No, you know, that's not the way it works. That's not how it works. It's so much that's involved here. And that's why I tell players when I talk to them now, when you walk into this league, put your business hat on. Take your personal hat off. You can have your personal hat on in college. Right? College is completely different. It's all family oriented and boosters and everybody loves you. When you get to this league, this is a business-based league, and you need to become business savvy because organizations are going to do what's in their best interest. right? And you as a player have to start thinking about what's in your best interest as well.
Here the Celtics are transitioning to where they are today. It's in their best interest to close out this Miami Heat team in six, because I don't think anybody in Boston wants to get on a plane and get back to South Beach for a game seven. So what have you seen from the Celtics? Do you think that they can come in here in this game six and close this out?
Easily. But I don't think it's going to be easy, because this has been a series of ebb and flows, right? Ebbs and flows. It's first game one, Jimmy Butler, okay, 41 points. And did he hear all the whispers about Jason Tatum being the best player in the series? And then from game one to game two, Marcus Smart comes back. And then, you know, Al Horford comes back. And like, so every game has had a different narrative, right?
Yep.
But I think that we can clearly see right now, especially with Miami being banged up, Jimmy Butler's not healthy. Kyle Lowry's not healthy. Tyler Hero's not healthy. And if I am Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and any Boston Celtics fan, I don't care. I don't care.
Right.
It's not about it. This is not a situation where when it's over, everybody can look back and say, oh, well, you know what? If these guys were healthy, then it doesn't matter. Your job as an athlete is to play who's in front of you. Take care of business. And I tell you what, you never want to go to a game seven if you can avoid it, because anything could happen in a game seven. Anything. Right. Duncan Robinson could get going and have one of those games. Max Strus can get going and have one of those games. Jimmy Butler can have a 41-point game like he did in game one. I tell you what I love. I love the maturity of Jason Tatum. When you hear him in post-game press conferences, he is a completely different guy now. He's a leader. He has grown into a leader because he is talking about things that leaders discuss. So when he's talking about not taking the Miami Heat for granted, he referenced all the way back to the Milwaukee series. He said, you know what? We went into Milwaukee and won a big game 6-2. And then we had game seven at home. So he's basically switching places with the Miami Heat. You know what I mean? I love the way that Jason Tatum, not just as a player, but also as a leader, has grown right before our eyes throughout these playoffs.
Yeah, he's really stepped up. I think this has been a great year developmentally for him.
For sure.
As far as all of that has gone, he's really taken a lot of that on, and he's really grown. Look, the entire team, we talked about it, where the entire team has really taken steps forward in a lot of different areas. I think Miami's cooked. I think I just don't think they have the legs anymore. They are too banged up. But yet the Celtics keep giving Miami life by turning the ball over like crazy. When you watch something like, you know, Jaylen Brown's turnovers, the live ball turnovers are all picking his pocket. Jason Tatum's live ball turnovers are all passes that go directly to somebody on the Heat for some reason. What happens in those two situations? What on the floor when you see a guy just getting his pocket picked like that, or passing it directly to the other team? What's happening there?
John, I'm gonna tell you where my mind goes as I'm watching these games. Right, I'll disagree with you in the fact that I don't think Miami's cooked. If by cooked you mean that the series is over, I do think Boston is going to close them out at home. But I think Miami has a lot of fight within them. I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to allow them the opportunity just to roll over.
I think they've got one quarter of fight in them. And if that one quarter goes well for them, then that game six is a battle. But if the Celtics come out strong, I don't think Miami's got anything to come back.
Agreed. But that means Boston has to take care of their job as well.
And not turn the ball over.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you where my mind goes when I'm watching the Boston Celtics turn the ball over at this rate. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, because I don't have a dog in the fight. You're lucky you're turning the ball over like this against Miami and it's not Golden State.
Oh,
because if you turn the ball over like this against Golden State, you find yourself down 20 in a heartbeat because of their spurt ability, their ability to get out in transition and make you pay for your turnovers. That's where my mind goes. So I'm not thinking about them turning the basketball over against Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero and Kyle Lowry and Max Strus and Bam Adebayo. I'm thinking of them turning the ball over against Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, and that Golden State Warriors offense.
That would be bad. And that, I mean, it looks like that's where it's going. We're recording this as Golden State closed out the Mavericks. We just saw the power of that transition offense. And you're 100% right. Like, I don't want to see that, but also they've got to stop doing it against Miami so they can get to that point. What I want to see, because we know that the finals are going to start on June 2nd, close this damn thing out in six and then get a couple of days of a break.
Rest.
I mean, how important, you know, how important is it to get this done just so you can get off your feet? Like, what's one day of rest mean to these guys right now?
Well, the thing is, you want to get it done because you don't want a game seven in Miami. You don't want a game seven in South Beach. That's why you want to get it done. Obviously, the rest is crucial because when you look at some of these small injuries that they had, Tatum and his shoulder, Marcus Smart and his shoulder, Marcus Smart and his quad, Marcus Smart and his ankle. So when you have an opportunity to get this rest, you have to take advantage of it. But with all that being said, you do not want a game seven. Miami fought all year long to get game seven at home for this exact purpose. So while you have the opportunity to close them out in Boston, you have to take advantage of it. Not just for the sake of rest, which is fantastic, but just for the sake of you don't win a game seven because anything can happen in a game seven.
How impressed are you with Al Horford doing this at his age?
I'm impressed with Al Horford's defensive IQ. That's what has kind of blown me. Like, he's always been solid professionally. Like, just seems like a great locker room guy. Locker room guy. To this day, I still wonder to myself, how was it that OKC could do what they did with Al Horford? I still think that to myself. And what he's showing you now was how much that he still had in the tank. When you look at this Boston Celtics team and the gauntlet that they had to get through to get here, right? You look at the Kevin Durant and the Kyrie Irving. You look at the Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Al Horford did, even though Giannis statistically had a great series, Al Horford did an amazing individual job guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're not in this position without Al Horford.
Right.
They're not there. If Al Horford's not there, he's not bringing that professionalism. And what he does is, this is what makes a really good defensive team, John. Because you've seen Jason Tatum start to work his way into the two-way conversation now. That Paul George, Kawhi Leonard conversation. Jaylen Brown was there already. Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year. Robert Williams is an excellent anchor. When you have five really good defenders, you know how hard that is to score against? And Al Horford gets it. He gets it. He understands at his age that it's not about quickness. It's about defensive positioning, knowledge, and understanding. And that trickles to everyone else that's on the floor with him.
That's my one of my biggest, I think, wins for the Celtics this season is to have exactly what you just said imparted on Robert Williams, because Robert Williams spent so much of his career relying, his entire basketball life, relying on his athleticism, being this big, super athletic, long guy who can fly through the air. I mean, looked like friggin' Superman going from the block out to the corner and blocking corner threes. And he can rely on that athleticism, but man, it's that positioning that Rob has started to learn that makes him so good, because when you add the positioning to his athleticism, then he becomes second team all defense. And I personally think Al Horford, I mean, I don't want to take away, like, Rob did the work, but Al Horford gave him, I think, the knowledge. And
for
that level of what Al did for this team this year, it has not been celebrated enough.
But this goes back to the, you don't win in this league if you're too young. You don't win in this league and you're too old. There has to be a balance.
Yep.
There has to be a balance across the board. So when you look at Robert Williams and you look at Grant Williams, when you look at some of these guys, because the NBA is getting younger. It's getting younger. Everybody's a one and done. Everybody's a two and done. Guys are coming in this league 2 years removed from prom. You know what I mean? Like, we have to understand what we're asking. You need Al Horford in that locker room. You need those guys to bring some semblance of balance, some semblance of knowledge. You know, it's different because Al Horford could not be more opposite of Robert Williams. Couldn't be more opposite. Robert Williams is a high flyer, excellent at blocking shots, rim protecting, and his athleticism affords him the opportunity to be out of position, then make up for it. Al Horford doesn't have that luxury. He doesn't have that luxury. You know what I mean? He ain't jumping out the gym and blocking shots. And no, that's not him. He is a position-based defender, which means he has to be smart and understand angles. So now, I don't have what Robert Williams has, but I can give Robert Williams some of what I have. And you're right. You are 100% right, John. You can see Robert Williams learning, not just Robert Williams, also Grant Williams.
Grant,
learning, sure. Learning the positioning aspect, because Grant Williams is closer to Al Horford than Robert Williams is to Al Horford.
Yeah.
As far as size, strength, athleticism, or lack thereof. Now, I think they have a keen understanding of defensive positioning. And I think a lot of credit goes to Al Horford for that.
So, really, to have a great team, you need the right youth, you need the right vets, you need the right coach. And it looks like the Celtics have it all. It's just a matter of, do they have enough to get past Miami first? Don't want to overlook Miami, but then Golden State sitting there waiting for them. I've been super confident about every step along the way in these playoffs. I knew that they were going to get by Brooklyn pretty quickly. I felt good about them getting by Milwaukee without Middleton. I picked Celtics in six against Miami. Didn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to go, but it looks like they're there on that. Now, if they can do that and get to Golden State, now my confidence starts to wane.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah, because they have all of that stuff, and they've been there. My final question for you, what's the value of having been there and being former champs versus that first team that the Celtics want to be on June 2nd, having never been there? What's the value of the Golden State experience?
I don't think there's I think one of the most underrated aspects of professional sports in the NBA as a whole, John, is experience.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's not just what happens within the four lines. You know what I mean? That's basketball. But experience entails everything. When you start talking about the NBA finals, it's what are you choosing to do the night before games? Mm-hmm. Because you know what to expect. How are you taking care of your body? You know, what are you doing with your off time? All of this is a part of the championship experience. It's not just because a lot of times I feel like what we do as analysts, we'll say, oh, you know what? That's lack of experience. And then a veteran does the same exact thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? We see it in football all the time. Oh, you know what? That's a rookie mistake. And then two possessions later, a veteran does the same exact thing.
Right.
You know, so for me, it's not about what happens within the four lines. Obviously, that's incredibly important. But being on that stage for the first time is different. Mm-hmm. It's different. When you walk into that arena and it's the NBA Finals, the ambiance, the atmosphere is completely different than the Eastern Conference Finals and versus Milwaukee and versus Brooklyn. It's different. Everything is really magnified in the NBA Finals. You know why, John? Because there are 28 teams sitting at home watching you guys. It's different when it's the first round of the playoffs. It's different when it's the second round of playoffs. It's different when it's the Eastern Conference Finals. When you start talking about the NBA Finals, it's a different pressure. It's a different atmosphere. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, Andre Iguodala, they've been there. They know what it's like. But this is what it's all about. You can't expedite experience. The only way to actually get experience is to actually experience it. So regardless as to what happens for the Boston Celtics, this will be a great experience for their young talent.
Well, we'll see what happens there. It'll be fun, hopefully. And hopefully the Celtics can do this in six against Miami so we can start focusing on that. Antonio Daniels, man, this was a great conversation. Appreciate you taking some time out to hop on the podcast.
For sure. Thanks for having me, John.
Great conversation with Antonio Daniels. It was awesome. Great of him to come on, spend some time talking about the Celtics. In that Al Horford conversation, that part of the conversation, Al has been so great. It's just been a joy to watch him and how he works and what he does for this team on and off the floor. It's been great. So I know he loves being back. I know Boston loves having him back. This is amazing. It's kind of funny to watch some of the interactions with his sister on Twitter. The people in Philly, I will just say this to the Philadelphia 76ers fans. who continue, not all of them, but some of them, the ones that I see, continue to say, wow, Al was trash over here. I will just say this. Al was really good in Atlanta. Al's been really good in Boston. Al was really good in Oklahoma City. At some point, you got to wonder, maybe it's not Al. Maybe it's not Al. Maybe. Just going to entertain that possibility, Philadelphia, that maybe it wasn't Al that was the problem. We'll just leave that there. The Celtics heading up to face the Miami Heat. Game 6 at the Garden Friday night. I will be there. I will be podcasting afterwards. And hopefully we will have plenty of celebrations and the handing out of the first ever Larry Bird Trophy for the conference finals MVP. That's a new wrinkle this year. It's only fitting that it goes to a Celtic, right? It's only fitting. So we'll see if the Celtics can finish this off and one of the Celtics can take home that the first Larry Bird Trophy. Oh, wait, does that mean Larry Bird's going to be in the building? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to compose myself if Larry Bird is in the building. Full disclosure, like I really do pride myself on, like LeBron walks by, not a big deal. Like these guys, I'm around these big stars all the time. Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, forget it. Forget it. I can't. The first time I saw Larry Bird, I was at the old Orlando Summer League. Larry Bird walked in the building and I was like, what do I do? And he was like across the room, like across the gym. I was on one corner and he was on the opposite corner of the basketball court. And I was like frozen. So if Larry's there to hand out this trophy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk coherently. So we'll see. That'll be fun. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for subscribing. If you're still here, you want to subscribe to the show, hit that subscribe button wherever you got your podcast, especially if you're on YouTube, continuing to try to grow that YouTube channel. We really do thank all of you who have subscribed, the almost 6,400 of you, trying to get to 6,500 by the end of this conference finals before the NBA finals start. And then we'll set a new goal for the NBA finals. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for bearing with me and my scratchy voice as I continue to recover from whatever vocal issue this has been. So thank you so much. And thank you for sharing the podcast, telling your friends and telling everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.